Hey nerds, we understand you. Drop those controllers, lose the wizard hat, and ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Broadcasting from a top-secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Rated 9.5, but probably close to a 7, Geek Cave Podcast Comics. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad.
To quote the 69th book in my collection, the 2012 graphic novel Batman Incorporated, page 157... Word 18, B. Welcome to comics.
You know, that was a journey, and I was happy to be a part of it.
So that's what the text was the other night.
Yeah, I texted each of the boys in turn. Hey, pick a number between so and so and so and so.
Ah. I sent him a GIF of Bill and Ted.
Yeah, I had Chad pick the book. Darren picked the page, and then I had my spouse pick the word.
Yeah, I picked number 157.
Nice.
So,
yeah. Anyway, Shortosaurus, digging up clothing from your past so you can look rad today. With great t-shirt, sweater, and hoodie designs for everything geek chic. Whether you're a fan of old school gaming, anime, 80s cartoons, or you're just a little weird, find something for you at Shortosaurus.com. And Gamefly, with membership options for every budget, plus gifts for gamers of all ages. Gamefly has thousands of titles that you can keep as long as you want, and when you're done, just send it back in the postage paid envelope for a new one, or keep it forever and pay a lot less than in-store prices. Sign up for a free 30-day trial right now using the link at geekcavepodcast.com. How we doing?
It's summer.
It is?
Well, okay, June 20th.
Not until the end of this month.
Okay, close enough. It's meteorological summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It felt like spring where I am, but yeah, sure. Cool and rainy.
Man, look at the local weather, out there. Isn't the sun just rising, setting, blazing, overcast?
And how about that local sports team?
Man, I just love recording from your place name here.
Introducing the Geek Cave Podcast sponsorship bundle. For $100 an episode, we will record from your place here. Or at least, as far as you know, we will.
So far, this episode is exciting, boring. I've already turned it off.
Well,
we still got the download.
That's true. Anyway.
See you tomorrow, suckers.
Darren.
Yo.
Done anything fun lately?
Okay, first you want to butter this up real nice, and then you want to bake it at 350 for 15 to 20. Hold on a sec.
What's that? Oh, yeah, go ahead and play it.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
Be gentle.
It's Darren's first time.
I told you, be gentle.
All right, welcome to Darren's first time, where I pick up the first issue or first graphic novel of a series that I've never read before. And I try to find out, is this something that works best as an appetizer, or is this a three-course kind of thing?
There it is.
Yeah. So what do you get when you take one cup cookbook, one cup memoir, a pinch of slice of life, and an ounce of charm?
Mama Mia's Here We Go Again.
No. No, thank goodness. No, actually,
that Dylan Bakes guy on TikTok. You know,
oh, man, he is so good.
He is good. If he's listening, just a little please come on the show. Yeah. You actually get a pretty tasty and, thanks to some of my tears, a little salty read.
Well, tears.
Just
okay.
Let me get into it. Let me tell you all about turtle bread.
Turtle Bread. Oh, God.
A graphic novel now available on Comixology. No, it's good. Trust me. It's good. Available on Comixology and soon to be available in print by cookbook writer and Great British Bake Off contestant Kim Joy.
Okay.
It tells the story of protagonist Yan, a girl who lives in Britain and is constantly crippled by anxiety and self-doubt. And it also acts as a pseudo-memoir for Kim Joy, who has had her own struggles with mental health. The comic also includes some actual recipes for a few pastries and other desserts and how to prepare them, literally inside the comic. That's where the cookbook comes in.
Nice. Ah.
So Yan's a young woman who lives with her mother and her brother, and when we first meet her, she has just been turned down at a job interview.
So Yan is young?
Yes.
But she's not Joy?
No.
Okay.
She's sitting dejected at the bus stop, and she's surrounded by her own thoughts. You know, the nobody likes you. It's all your fault. It's you. You're the one who's the way you are. She spots an advertisement for a baking club nearby. Something inside tells her to check it out. She almost immediately turns and leaves as soon as she gets there because she's already presumed that everyone there hates her, despite the fact that nobody there knows her. She's
mood.
Yeah. Yeah. She's taken under the wing of the woman running the club, a woman named B. She's an older woman. She always has words of encouragement for each and every one of the bakers there. She also seems to recognize Yan's internal struggles almost immediately. And there's always a word of encouragement coming from her to stop being a turtle and come out of your shell. There's half the title.
Okay. There's a tour about that, isn't there?
The advice works. Yan and the others build confidence. They make delicious pastries. Yan even finds herself a job and a successful relationship. Everything's going great until it isn't.
Yep.
One day, B suddenly disappears from the club. Everyone goes their separate ways. Yan falls into a spiral of depression. Again, convinces herself she was the reason that B suddenly left because, well, you're too selfish. You're too focused on yourself. You're too this, that. Again, everyone listening to this knows exactly what that feels like. And she ends up self-sabotaging to the point where she's once again jobless and single and seems content to stay that way until she is forced to leave her apartment to restock on food for her cat, who, in probably one of the best panels in this comic, you can tell is completely 100% sick of her shit. Like, the cat has been, like, by her side, and, like, when the food dish is empty, the cat looks at her like it's disgusted. It's like, pull yourself together. I mean, it doesn't speak, but still.
Isn't that how cats always look?
If you've ever owned a cat, you know the look. Yan encounters one of her former baking friends. They realize life was so much better when they were working together. They get Mystery Incorporated back together and go off in search of Old Man McGut. Oh, wait, sorry. They eventually track down B. And it reveals that she left because she's terminal with cancer and didn't want to be a burden. Kind of exactly how Yan always saw herself as a burden to others. Circle of life, my friends. In the end, Yan learns one more life lesson from B about living with confidence, all while making some dessert, of course.
Right.
A bread with a chocolate turtle shell.
Ah,
turtle bread.
Okay.
Yeah. And
I'm on board here.
And we end the story with a flash forward by about 10 years or so, with Yan and her friends now running the baking club, welcoming a new member who seems to have some of the same nervousness that they all know very well indeed. This sounds like a sad book, but really, it's engrossing. It's charming. It's funny. It's cute. And yes, it's all too accurate for people like myself, and I'm sure others listening to this, who've ever wrestled with imposter syndrome, depression, or other forms of self-loathing and self-doubt. It's a wonderfully told story in a beautiful manga art style, but still reads left to right like a traditional comic.
Ooh, my favorite.
And I highly recommend it. You can read it for free right now if you have Comixology Unlimited. The print release comes out later this year. No jokes, no weird double entendres here. Just be like me, and if nothing else, pick it up for the recipes.
Does it have the recipe for the turtle bread?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you tried any of the recipes?
I have not. I finished the book a day before our taping.
Well, if you send me a scan of the recipe,
yeah.
I'm happy to make
now, it's all in. It's all in like grams and stuff.
It's all right.
Because the book, it takes place in England.
I've got a scale.
Right on. There you go.
Okay. I got a kitchen scale. It weighs in grams.
Okay. So, folks, you heard it here first.
England
Darren.
Uses the grandmother scale.
Darren.
Yeah.
I expect at least one update by next month's episode.
Okay. I'll scan it and send it to Chad.
I want to hear one of these recipes reviewed on air.
Yeah.
I'm on board.
We can do that.
I'm on this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't threaten me with a good time baking a pie.
Just threaten me with pastry. What's wrong with you? One fun part about whenever they decide to make the eponymous turtle bread is that it actually takes them 4 tries to get it right, which is a nice... It's nice to see in a comic as opposed to just like, and they did it. No, they messed up a lot.
But the fourth one stayed up.
Yeah, it really did.
Nice.
But yeah, that's all I've got for this. I do have a couple of reviews, but we can get to those whenever.
Okay. Chad, you said you were on it. So what else are you on? You got anything?
Well, I was doing some reading and came across some Batman comics. And I know that you're a fan of those. And I think kind of a stupid question.
Oh, Chad, there are no stupid questions.
And now it's time for Chad Savage's stupid question.
So, Ra's al Ghul, Ra's, Ra's.
Yes.
That guy.
Yes.
He's always brought, you know, he found these Lazarus pits. You know,
yes.
He discovered them, or he invented them.
Yeah, yes.
Which means that he probably named them. And so, is he Christian? That he would name them after the man resurrected by Jesus in the New Testament?
That's Lazarus.
So, Darren.
Yeah.
I'll get back to you, Chad.
Oh, sure thing. Thanks.
You said you had some reviews.
I do. I went a little comic book crazy this past month, mostly because it was one of those situations where my wife had a work trip and I had a lot of time on my hands, and so I downloaded some comics.
Woo! There's the difference between us. I just trimmed my nails.
I downloaded 1 volume of Batman and 3 volumes of Action Comics.
Okay.
The 3 volumes of Action Comics is the War World saga that recently happened in the Superman comics. This is when Superman left Earth and John became the Superman of Earth for a while.
Yes. So and this follows Clark's.
Yes.
Okay. Gotcha.
Clark is losing a little bit of his powers because of an incident that happened in, surprisingly, an issue that was not collected in this saga. But I can go ahead and tell you it's an issue of Superman that happens right beforehand, where some aliens known as the Reach managed to actually inflict lasting radiation damage on Superman. And so his powers are slowly fading. His hair is turning gray at the temples, you know. And some fans were starting to wonder, okay, so with the whole ongoing Siegel and Schuster legal things, is this how they get around using Clark Kent? Do they just kind of have him eventually fade away and John becomes Superman? Well, what happens is, and this is going to be a very loose review because I want people to read it. I'm going to give you the score ahead of time. B+ to A-, very good. Some of the best Superman writing we've seen since Rebirth, which was amazing Superman writing, so pick it up.
Okay, cool.
But long and short of it, a ship from Warworld crashes on Earth, and it has a couple of Kryptonian-adjacent people on it called Phalosians, basically like an offshoot of Krypton that went off and did their own planet.
So they are the Romulans to... Kinda. To Superman's Vulcan.
Yeah, kind of. And they they're just completely comatose. Superman takes them to the fortress to heal. One of them wakes up, finds out she has powers. We find out that Mongol sent her and her compatriots with one mission: kill all of Superman's loved ones. Not Superman, kill his loved ones. And after some investigation, we find that Superman is spoken of on Warworld by the slaves as like the savior, the one who will come and rescue us and all that stuff, especially by the Philotians, who know that he's a Kryptonian. And she resists. The one that woke up resists, is ultimately killed by Mongol's people. Mongol sends his own party, kills the Philotians, and Superman's like, all right, it's personal. You sent people into my home, tried to kill my family.
And you not come only into that, my yard.
And not only that, but the people you sent and then executed were other Kryptonians.
But they weren't.
Well, kind of. They have the same Kryptonian lineage. They just went off and did their own thing like a few thousand years prior to...
How long does it take to become your own person?
I guess that's a deeper philosophical question that Discord can answer.
What are we here for?
You killed my third cousin 11 times removed.
Whatever. I mean, but Superman sees all life as sacred.
My father's brothers, nephews, sisters.
But Superman sees all life as sacred.
Yes.
Anyway, he even has like a rift with the Justice League because with these people from Warworld came this little bit of technology that is being referred to as Genesis. Apparently it creates superpowers. It lands in the middle of the ocean, Atlantis, and the world governments are going to fight over it. So Superman just takes it. He's like, if you guys aren't going to behave, nobody gets to have it. You know?
How did Atlantis feel about this?
Well, they weren't happy, but neither was the rest of the world's governments.
Just saying.
He basically prevented a giant world war because they were like literally lined up about to like start opening fire on each other. But regardless, this gets Superman kicked out of the Justice League because, you know, he crossed political lines and he's like, I'm going to Warworld. I don't care if y'all come with me. I'll take my own team. His team being the Authority, a group of heroes. And not as in, like, quality, but as in morality. You know, a lot of these people are like Manchester Black and Apollo and Midnighter, people who kind of skirt the fine line between vigilante and just straight-up homicidal maniac. And they go to Warworld with one rule, no killing. Well, that doesn't go well for them because they lose instantly. They get to Warworld and are just wrecked, just completely. Everyone is captured. One of their team dies, like, pretty fast.
Midnighter?
No, Light Ray, actually.
I don't even know what that is.
Two people end up joining Apollo, joining Mongol's squad because they want to be on the winning side. It looks pretty bad. And the whole time, there's just one repeated mantra that a now depowered Clark, who is fighting for his life every day in Warworld until he finds a way to inspire people to rise up against Mongol, he keeps repeating the mantra, truth and justice. He becomes known as the Unbloodied Sword, the warrior who will not kill, you know?
Love and peace! Yeah.
But yeah, he becomes this kind of legend, and eventually he does lead this giant rebellion against Mongol. And this is after so long where people saw Mongol as a god, and now they're like, we have hope. And
that's what the S means.
That's what the S means. Yeah. So I'm doing kind of a crap job of summing it up because I just summed up the first volume and it's a 3-volume set. All I can say is, yeah, you should pick it up. It's a really good read. You can find all of it on Hoopla, and I'm pretty sure Comixology Unlimited as well. If you don't want to spend the money on it, but it's definitely, I'm impressed. I'm going to put it pretty close to, of the past 5 years, this is probably one of my favorite Superman stories.
Nice.
The other thing I read was Batman Failsafe, Volume 1. Ooh. So, as you know, DC is getting ready to launch into the Dawn of DC initiative, which will have Dick Grayson and the Titans, Nightwing and the Titans, kind of be the premier superheroes. But before that, we've got to see some other superheroes kind of royally fucked things up. Hey, Batman, how's it going? So you remember Tower of Babel?
Yes.
That storyline way back before, like, two or three crises ago?
Yeah.
No Man's Land's the one with the earthquake. Which one was Tower of
Tower Babel? Tower of Babel was, and there's an awesome animated movie on it, too, where
Doom.
Someone gets a hold, it depends on whether you're watching the movie.
All of the Batman's
plans for the Justice League, right. I think in the movie it was Vandal Savage, and in the comic it was Ra's al Ghul. But the long and short of it is...
The Christian?
Sure. The long and short of it is, at the end of it, Batman is voted out of the Justice League.
Or has he just been around? Was he Lazarus?
Ooh. Save that question for later. Lazarus. But at the end of Tower of Babel, you know, Batman leaves before he's told what the vote was anyway. Mm-hmm. This starts with a flashback to where that ended. Superman follows Batman into the teleporter to the Batcave. And he's like, damn it, Bruce, take off the mask. I'm talking to you, or I will take it off for you. You know, a real, like, you know, stern, angry dad kind of thing. And he asks Batman the question. Same question in Tower of Babel. What if you turned? What was your plan for stopping you? And Batman's like, my plan was to Justice League. And then he left in the original. In this one, Superman calls him out on his bullshit. Like, come on, you had plans to stop all of us. You expect us to be the plan to stop you? You know? And that led to Batman deciding, he's right. I really should have a failsafe. Now let's flash forward to the present. Oswald Cobblepot is dying of strangely mercury poisoning. Turns out eating all that raw fish is a bad idea.
Not bird flu.
Yeah, it's not bird flu. Batman is in his hospital room basically to just kind of interrogate him one last time before he goes off to that iceberg in the sky. No, he's not. He's not doing that. But
he's pinching the IV.
Cobblepot swallows a cyanide pill, knowing that Batman is the only person in the room with him, and hits the nurse's button. They barge in to see Batman with his hands on Oswald's shirt and a dead penguin in his hands. And now Batman has been framed for the murder of Oswald Cobblepot.
Of course he has.
Beautiful.
Now, see,
beautiful.
Normally this is something that you'd take care of in a day or two, you know? But with that hitting the police scanners, it also activates a robot that had been created and put under the Batcave that was to activate for one purpose only. If Batman ever kills...
Oh, no.
This robot is going to kill him because he has to be stopped at all costs. Thus, failsafe. Failsafe just creams Batman.
Well, that's his job.
Just almost murders him instantly. He's saved by, you know, the Bat family, and they just get their shit wrecked as well. Everyone's getting beat up. The Justice League called in. Failsafe lures them to a very particular block in Gotham City that is set up with nothing but traps for the Justice League.
Of course it is.
It's nuts. Batman and Tim Drake Robin try to make an escape to get to the Fortress of Solitude so they can buy some time and so Superman can help them. Superman does not do well in this fight because, of course not, this thing is Batman but robot. And as Batman
is powered by magic?
It's powered by Batman, so plot armor.
Right.
Anger.
We eventually get a flashback that the reason that Batman himself didn't remember building this robot was because it was built by the Batman of Zur-En-Arr. As in the other personality that Batman created in case Batman's brain was broken.
Oh my God.
That personality decided something must be done to stop me if I can't be stopped or if I cross the line. And then I'm going to erase that memory from the other me so that he won't remember how to stop it.
That sounds exactly like Batman, yes.
Yeah.
Do we get the Batman Zur-En-Arr, like, multicolored outfits?
We do
then?
Get that multicolored outfit.
Yes.
Oh, I want to read it.
Yeah. Well,
I don't care what the score is. I want to read it now just for those.
Well, the problem is only the first volume is collected so far.
It's all right. Eventually, so Justin will happen.
It ends on a cliffhanger, and then you get like a couple side stories of Catwoman and other side characters trying to like pick up the pieces because this robot has basically just taken Gotham and has had Gotham for weeks now because of Batman's presumed death slash absence. So, yeah, I mean, it's a good story. It feels like this was DC's attempt to, without getting too far into the weeds, kind of rehab the Tim Drake character. Because in his own book, the writer there has not done a great job with the character. And so this was, it felt like a way to kind of reemphasize Tim Drake as Robin, you know, because things have gotten confusing with Damian and all that jazz. And I do admit, the inclusion of Batman Zur-En-Arr is a fun twist that I did not see coming. And it's also very, very Batman, but in the best possible way of the LOL Batman wins meme. So, yeah, I would give this one like a B minus. It's still really good, but you know, some of it at times it's like, oh, why? but yeah, I still think it's worth reading. So far so good, DC.
Cool. I'm intrigued.
Yeah. It is also available on Hoopla and Comixology Unlimited.
Perfect. I know what I'm reading tonight.
Oh, and real quick, I did read one other thing. I didn't read all of it. I read enough of it. Amazing Spider-Man 26 is here, guys.
Oh, is that the one where it had like the all black cover because they didn't want spoilers?
No, they kind of leaked it themselves. Marvel leaked it themselves, and then pretended they didn't, and then went ahead and confirmed it. And so this whole big Zeb Wells storyline that has been just god awful, and it's reverted Spider-Man to just the most incompetent character in all of Marvel. This is it. This is the most heartbreaking thing to happen in a Spider-Man comic in 50 years. That's what they promised us.
Did he give up his marriage to Mephistopheles?
That already happened.
Oh.
Yeah.
Did Aunt May die?
That's happened twice at least.
Did they bring Uncle Ben back and find out that actually he's like a horrific racist?
Okay. That the first half happened for like 5 minutes. But no.
Turned out he didn't want to come back.
No. Okay, so...
Did he turn into an actual spider?
No, that also has happened, yes. Believe
it
or not.
Was his brain taken over by one of his former villains?
That has also, in fact, happened. Holy shit. No.
Did he come back from said brain taking over and realize that part of his life was, you know... That his life has just been ruined and he's ruined friendships, but yet somehow the crime fighting has gotten better?
Also, no, not this time.
Did he... No, I'm done.
Okay, so, no.
Did he suddenly find a black symbiote from another planet to make him super strong?
Not this time. That has already happened, though. So you see the point...
Did everybody in Manhattan get spider powers?
Jesus Christ. has also already happened.
Did he find himself accidentally portrayed by Tobey Maguire?
You guys have read more Spider-Man than me, apparently. No, all of those things happened. And all of those things were better stories than what I'm about to tell you.
Even the One More Day?
Up until the decision. Up until the point where they make the dumbest decision. Yes, One More Day was a good story until that point. No, this is apparently bigger than all of those things.
Bigger
this
than all
is
those.
Apparently the most shocking thing they could ever do.
Peter unmasks himself and beats up Kingpin in prison that in front of everybody.
Also already happened.
He unmasks himself in front of news media to support a ill-written political agenda and bill.
That has also already happened. Dear God, guys. Let me finish.
Does he fail to save a loved one?
Kinda.
by you know, actually saving her, but not taking into account that next break.
No, not that one. That did all happen. No, for God's sake, Ms. Marvel dies.
I was like, did he join the Fantastic Four?
The joke has gone on for 3 minutes.
Yeah,
and Ms. so it's time to move forward.
No. We were gonna keep this up until it got funny again. You ruined it.
Around, Darren. You're supposed to be the professional. You know how this works.
Well, unfortunately, I didn't see a light at the end of the tunnel.
Oh, my life's a circle.
I just saw more right turns.
We should have watched NASCAR. Those are left turns.
Yeah. No, apparently Ms. Marvel. They kill off Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, who, by the way, you know, they already had a splash image for, like, fallen friend, the death of Ms. Marvel, coming in June. So, okay, a couple of questions. One, this character has barely been in this run of Spider-Man.
Uh-huh.
Two, so you mean to tell me that you brought Ms. Marvel in so she could die just for this story in a book that's not even her own book?
Yeah.
Three, you brought in a female character to die to motivate the white male character.
You know, it's a very long tradition in comics.
Four, you did this during like Asian American Pacific Islanders Month. Five, you have Ms. Marvel appearing in a live-action film in November.
Don't worry, she'll get better.
She will get better because six, I guarantee you they're using this to retcon her as a mutant. With X-Men having the whole Krakoan resurrection protocol that they've got going on right now, and because Disney Plus, that show, spoilers, that show revealed to her to be a mutant and not an inhuman, because inhumans turned out to be a giant dumpster fire. And speaking of dumpster fires,
it's also really bad.
Yes.
Like a dumpster fire at least offers warmth.
And seven.
That's true.
Just when you thought that the Zeb Wells storytelling over the past 25 issues was bad, tantamount to being, I don't know, given water torture by someone made entirely of water, you did this, which is water torture with ghost pepper sauce.
Oof.
Okay, Darren, your bit's gone on for about 3 minutes now. What really happened?
No, that's what really happened.
Yeah,
good job using that back on me. That's good. Using my own stuff against me. That is what...
Continuity!
That is what really happened. Ms. Marvel brought in just to die. So
now she qualifies to be a Black Lantern.
I mean, everything's connected.
I mean, yes.
So, yes.
Technically?
But also...
Technically, in the Marvel Universe, the DC Universe is one of the other worlds.
I'm just going to say... if you have a friend who reads Spider-Man comics, check on them.
How are you doing, Darren?
Not good.
I'm sorry to hear that.
I'm not doing great.
I have a really large piece of beef roast in my fridge.
Okay.
How about if I just cook that up for
as
you
As long
tomorrow?
As Kamala Khan's not also in the fridge.
No.
That would be good.
I try to keep my fridge female free. Because
they've already killed... They've ruined Mary Jane's character. They've killed off another female character for no other reason other than to motivate Spider-Man and make him blame himself for more things. And it just feels gross a little bit. And this whole run has felt gross. So
who would you have killed?
Who would I have killed? Aunt May.
I would have already do that.
Yeah, they've done it twice. But for whatever reason, that she's like a freaking Energizer bunny. She just keeps going.
I would have killed Flash Thompson.
I mean, I think they've done that before, too.
But Peter would have done it. Like, if he's going to be angsty about somebody dying.
No. If I'm
And like, it's just one of those things where he gets angry and just doesn't pull a punch.
If I'm killing somebody in the Spider-Man run, it's Paul. Not Paul, like our listener Paul, but Paul, the guy who, like, meets Mary Jane in the shadow
of the wings.
No, Paul meets Mary Jane in like this alternate dimension. They spend years together. He's somehow the true love of her life.
Oh,
now
the guy that she hugged when
hugged when Ms. Marvel died. Paul,
aren't they married?
I don't even know, because I don't know his last name, because he has the personality
Watson.
Of a crumb.
Come on. A guy with the personality of crumb. He takes her name because he's a feminist.
No, I'm not even going to give him that.
Hey, sorry to interrupt. Legal just handed me something. And
Okay.
The people that we're talking about killing are fictional characters in a comic book.
Fictional characters.
Talking about killing real people in real life. So this cannot be used against us in a court of law because we are referring to fictional characters that do not, in fact, exist.
Right.
You know, and on that note, I say we move on to other topics.
Yeah, let's move on.
Well, I guess if there is no other reviews or... Yes. I forgot. A couple other things we do need to talk about.
Yes.
Let's do the Discord and then Extra Life. So,
all right.
Darren.
Yeah, so if you have not yet, please join our Discord. You can find a link to it, dkpodcast.com. It's a lot of fun. It's absolutely free, and you get early access to podcasts. And you've heard the whole spiel before. We have now started opening it up for people to ask questions right before we tape an episode. And then, you know, if you're lucky, we will pick you. And Gungraves from the Discord, hi, Paul, has a question for you. What are some of the host's favorite non-superhero comics?
Okay.
So, what are your favorite non... I would say Turtle Bread is pretty up there. I really, really enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there is a graphic novel by Brian Lee O'Malley, the same guy who did Scott Pilgrim versus the World,
which I also love,
which could be considered a superhero kind of thing, but it's called Seconds, in which a girl who owns a restaurant keeps getting to go back and relive certain parts of her life to try and change things, only to see how they've screwed up.
Money Shot's also a good one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I would
not
also...
Not good for kids.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I would also posit that the Sandman series, they're not superheroes. Yeah. Just because they have powers, they're not superheroes. They're otherworldly entities. So I would put that in that category. Chad, what about you?
So I would start with Mouse.
Yes.
And yes. The thing is, so here's the thing is, when I started reading graphic novels, I didn't read superhero comics. I read Archie, and I read Uncle Scrooge, you know, because that's what the big box of comics in my grandparents' house was. Mm-hmm. But when I started reading them, I still didn't read superheroes. I read Mouse because that was in college. I really like the March trilogy from John Lewis.
Yeah.
And they called us Enemy, George Takei's book.
Mm-hmm.
Alison Bechdel has written two of them, one called Fun Home and the other one called Are You My Mother, which both kind of deal with her as a person and growing and so forth in the wake of her father's suicide. You know, and so a lot of the comics that I read are superhero stuff now, but like when I first started getting into graphic novels as a medium, they were things that were not, and like March and They Call This Enemy, you know, those are new, right? Those are since we've started doing the podcast. But outside of that, I'm going to say Calvin and Hobbes.
Mm.
Yeah.
With the exception of the Spaceman Spiff stuff, because that there's a superhero.
This is true. Stupendous Man, yes.
Honorable mention to Do a Power Bomb and Barbaric, both of which were actually recommended by Gungraves.
Yeah, that's true.
Also, there is a single novel called Americus, Americus, that's like two stories told in tandem, one about kind of a kid going to school where his comic book that he really likes is being challenged and banned by a parents group. And that's put right next to the comic that's being banned. So it's like,
nice.
And then the last one is Starve. So it was a 2-volume, you know, graphic novel. It lasted like 8, maybe 10 issues kind of thing. A celebrity chef is basically, he disappeared after losing his mind. And they brought him back because he needs to fulfill his contract kind of thing. And so they put him on a reality cooking contest in a world in which meat is only for the 1%.
Ooh.
Kind of thing, you know, where one of those kind of dystopian things.
All right.
Buddy's okay. Borrowing it, but I'd recommend that one too.
Nice. Well, yeah, I hope that answers your question. And yeah.
And if it doesn't, just rewind like 3 minutes. Listen again.
There you go. So absolutely. I'll mention this again, but go to the website, click on the link, join the Discord, and ask questions. Talk to us. Say hi. The other thing we wanted to talk about before we move on to the long box is Extra Life. I know it's June, but October's going to be here before we know it, folks. And so is the link on the website already, Darren?
Yes. In fact, it's Sweet. Right there, really close to the Discord link, so you can't miss it.
Yeah. Extra Life, for those of you who don't know, who just recently found us, hi. Extra Life is a marathon that we do every October to raise money for Children's Miracle Network hospitals. We play video games for 24 hours, and all money donated goes straight to the hospitals. Extra Life is a I'm blanking on the word.
A do-it-yourself kind of.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. A do-it-yourself charity where there's very low overhead. You don't have to rent out space unless you want to. You know, we do it at one of our homes every year, you know. And all money raised goes directly to the children's hospitals. I personally play for Cardinal Glennon Children's Hospital in St. Louis, Missouri. Chad, who do you play for?
Iowa Stead at the University of Iowa.
Right. Yeah.
Family Children's Hospital.
And I have in years past played for whatever hospital is closest to where I live, which this year is the Stead Family Children's Hospital, U of I as well.
Okay, cool. So we typically have prizes that we give away during the marathon. As we get closer to time, we'll start listing out some of those prizes and other fun things that are going to happen. Do we have any we can mention now?
Yes. For a donation of any amount, get you in the drawing for any of our prizes this year. There is no big grand prize. But there will be, once again, your choice of a t-shirt from Shirtosaurus. We're still in talks with Gamefly about what they can do. They've always been really helpful. But Nintendo has already stepped up a physical copy of the hard-to-find Metroid Prime Remastered for Nintendo Switch.
Awesome.
The one where you can move around while aiming?
Yes, I know, right? physical copy of that. Also, Warner Brothers /DC giving us a digital download code for The Batman. That's the one with Robert Pattinson.
The Batman.
As well as the animated Supergirl and the Legion of Superheroes movie that just recently hit DVD /Blu-ray /digital. Find it in digital storefronts everywhere. So those are just a few, and more prizes will be announced closer we get.
Yeah, and like Darren said, folks, any amount donated automatically enters you in to win any of those prizes. There is no like donation tier to get this prize or this prize. If you can donate a dollar, guess what? You're in the running for any of those prizes.
Absolutely.
And I understand money's tight. People are pinching pennies where they can. If you cannot donate, help spread the word. That is just as valuable, you know. Boost our posts that we do about it. Tell your friends, tell your family, tell your podiatrist. I don't care. Tell everyone. It is something that we all look forward to and we all hold very dear to our hearts. So, yeah, we're going to be talking about this more and more as the rest of the year goes on leading up to October. So, with all of that out of the way, anything else, gentlemen?
I got nothing.
No, sir.
Okay, because I got something. Kent?
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Prepare yourself for Justin's long box. Yeah, baby. Extra long.
Okay, boys, I need you to bear with me on this one. Okay. So this year I decided to go through and talk about weird or bizarre single issue or storylines in comics, just to spice things up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a question.
Oh boy.
War. What is it good for?
Absolutely nothing. Saying again now.
See, he gets it. Apparently it's good for entertainment. So I want to welcome you all to the Blister, a place that isn't really defined in the course of the book. It was discovered. People went there. People kind of deserted from the government. Now the government is going in trying to take back what they think is theirs. Unfortunately, the Blister has some interesting properties. You can't really set things on fire and you can't use any combustibles. It just doesn't work. So all weapons when fighting in the Blister are clockwork. You get one shot and then you have to rewind your gun.
Huh.
Also, people going to fight in the Blister are criminals on death row, people who are terminally ill, people who just are tired of life. This is a one-way ticket, folks.
I think I saw a Stone Cold Steve Austin movie like this.
But I bring up that it's good for entertainment because a few of these people are outfitted with special glasses that transmit what they see back to Earth, whatever, unnamed, obviously Western country is running the show for the masses to watch through a VR-style headset. So you get a first-person experience without having to go into war. Think The Truman Show, but deadlier.
Okay.
And none of these people are given... they can't use their names. They're all referred to as Blues. And our main protagonist is one of those. We'll just call him Blue because he lists off a string of numbers.
Let's go Blues.
Yeah. So they get there. They disembark. A fight breaks out. People are, you know, war is happening. And there's an explosion. And Blue kind of gets thrown from the group. And he comes across a dying general who gives him this watch and says, "Hey, I'm not going to make it. Make sure this gets back to my family." Okay. Blue also meets a giant gorilla that carries 2 6-shooters.
Okay. Then things got weird.
Oh, by the way, the name of the book is Six Gun Gorilla.
Ah, yeah. Should have led with that.
Six Gun Gorilla.
It's my job to take notes on the show, and so I had the Blister written down. So yeah, okay.
Yeah, Six Gun Gorilla. A gorilla that wears a poncho, carries 2 6-shooters, and has 2 ballistas full of bullets.
He must be protected at all costs.
But Justin, you said guns don't work here. How is this possible? Well, it turns out that there's some explanation. You see, the guns.
I'm just picturing, like, from the Super Mario Brothers movie, Bowser going, "Monkey!" And that's the explanation.
The second best Mario movie.
The guns. Yeah. The guns use kind of a vapor lock system to kind of project the bullet. No heat. You don't need that.
They're extra fresh, too.
the bullets have chemicals in them so that when they ignite, so when they hit, it kind of lets go with a gas, that a pressurized gas. Very expensive. So yeah, they thought of everything for that. Still, just really weird. As we go along, Blue and said gorilla come across a town that is one of the kind of stragglers, the refugees, the people who escaped or whatever. They're now living in this territory. They get there right around blaze time, which is when the sun in the blister is at its highest and kills everything if it's not inside. So once a day, you're granted insta-death if you're not inside. Let that be a lesson, kids.
So summer in Oklahoma.
Summer in Oklahoma. So that only comes back into play one other time. So, you know.
Whatever, I guess.
Whatever, I guess. Yeah. Also, the government, which is very intent on getting their hands on this watch, which they never really explain what it does. It's just a lot of this is just kind of you just got to take it at face value because a lot of explanations are needed. They send a bounty hunter to go collect the watch. He shows up sporadically. In the town that they find, Blue and the local enterprising woman of the evening hit it off, and her son gets kidnapped by some of the rebel forces. There's a subplot. They got to go rescue the kid. I know it sounds like I'm not doing this justice, but it's really bizarre. There really isn't a lot of in-depth detail.
You're telling me that a book called Six Gun Gorilla is just a bit weird and not well thought out?
Yeah.
Huh.
So which publication is this?
We'll get to that. We'll circle it's back around DC. To that.
No. Because there was an original Six Gun Gorilla from like 1930s.
Oh. Yeah. We'll circle back to that.
Okay.
Good old Charlton Comics.
So, as the story progresses, Blue and the gorilla are trying to save themselves, save this town, save the people in it, and also figure out what the heck is going on, because something doesn't seem right to Blue. Well, one night he has kind of a, you can call it a dream, a mental breakdown, whatever you want. You see, back in, before he joined the army, he was a librarian. He had a good life. But he was so focused on his work that he let his relationship deteriorate. She left, and he decided, well, nothing's worth living anymore. I'm going to go off and get myself killed in this place. So as he's having this kind of mental breakdown, he starts reliving a bunch of the stories that he read in the library. And these characters are talking to him and trying to help him come to terms with what he's seen, what he's experiencing. And then he comes to a copy of Wizard Magazine from the 1930s, featuring Six Gun Gorilla, author unknown.
Damn it.
So we're led to believe that the gorilla that he's interacting with in the blister is real? Question mark? But he is very much real because he's killing people. Literally.
Yep.
Very real.
I got nothing.
And they become big damn heroes. They save the kid. They save the girl. They save the town. The gorilla, Blue, and the bounty hunter all get caught in blaze time and go up in a blaze of glory. And the war is somehow over. People are now resensitized to the desensitization that they've gone through, and they realize, oh, crap is not what it should be. So they just decide, okay, war's over. Yay. Yeah, I know that was a lot, and it was all very weird and all disjointed, but so was the comic. So, Six Gun Gorilla.
Damn.
Available on Comixology. I had higher hopes for this based on the the title. Anyway, I want to thank our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly. Be sure to check out our other shows. You Want Me to Watch What? The Week 3 Podcast, The Sporadic TLDR. And You Want Me to Watch What? And on YouTube, Retromantics and Geek Cave Plays. Be sure to look us up on social media. All of the links can be found on our website, geekcavepodcast.com, including the Discord, which we mentioned earlier. When you stop by, say hi. Be sure to tell your friends about us. We're on all your favorite podcast services of choice. And it is now time for your Out of Context comic panel. Thankfully, not from Six Gun Gorilla. We see a woman lounging in bed, and she thinks to herself, my coping mechanisms may be worse than my actual problems. For Kent, Darren, and Chad, I'm Justin, and this has been the wonderful world of comics. And remember, everyone's a geek for something.